It's a blessing to me, amen. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Simple little thought. I've got so many things running through my head. I'm working on a kangaroo message, and Lord willing, we'll be able to preach that by the weekend or the next one. One, I'm putting some facts together and some things that are pretty interesting, and where we can see ourselves in that weird, weird-looking animal. But anyway, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 tonight. Nothing to do with the trip, but all to do with us as the body of Christ as we serve the Lord together. Paul is going to make some things very clear. We've looked at this scripture several times. I remember Brother Fisher preached from it one time when he was here. But Paul makes it very clear in this scripture that he tears this thing down that we build of rank or hierarchy. We set one position above another or one title above another. And Paul tears that all down and says, hey, it's just a matter of who gave you the gospel. Amen? And in other words, what he's saying is we're all servants and they're all important. Amen? When Paul introduces himself in 1 Corinthians as a servant of Jesus Christ, he's not making the position great. He's making the one the position serves great. Amen. When you compare the word servant and the word Christ, I mean, brother, what a difference you have in the two. So Paul pictures himself as lowly an individual as he could be, serving the loftiest individual anyone could serve. There's nobody higher than you that you could serve than Jesus Christ. Would you agree?
Amen.
I mean, wouldn't it be a great honor? Well, I was going to say to do something for the president, but wouldn't it be a great honor to serve some high-ranking official? Wouldn't it be great?
Amen.
It really would. I would have loved to have been Ronald Reagan's assistant.
Yes.
Amen. Or his personal assistant that just takes care of his needs and all those things. Man, wouldn't you, when people ask, you wouldn't be able to wait for somebody to ask you what you do. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, when somebody asks you, you can honestly say, I serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I serve the Creator of heaven and earth.
Yeah.
Well, what do you do for Him? I'm just a servant.
Yeah.
He says fetch, I fetch. He says go, I go. He says tell, I tell. He says listen, I listen.
Yeah.
Amen. We're a servant of God. We're a servant of the highest of the high.
Yeah.
There's nothing above Him. There's nothing beneath Him. Amen. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Nobody's never been above Him, and that's who we serve tonight.
Yeah.
And sometimes even in the menial tasks that we do as Christians, and we get aggravated with all the nitpicking stuff, we got to remember who we're doing the nitpicking stuff for. When you think about famous people, even actors or performers or all this, and all you ever see is them on the forefront, them on the screen or them on the stage or them with the microphone and doing the singing or them behind the pulpit and doing the preaching, you got to always remember there are hundreds if not thousands of people around them doing the unseen things that make the big seen things possible. Are you listening? Oh, wow. When I got to Rockhampton and got to the Lighthouse Baptist Church, I was really amazed. I was expecting just small and kind of way back behind us, and not at all. They're probably way ahead of us in a lot of ways. But all the decorations, all the printed material, everything that you saw, you could tell right off that a whole lot of work went into that meeting.
Amen, brother. Amen.
And I asked Brother Bax, who preaches all over the world. By the way, on his trip through the States next year, he will stop by here, and you will be honored to meet him. He is awesome. But I asked him, I said, how much of this did you do? He said, none. He said, they put it together, brought it to me, I approved it. Wow. But I noticed in the meeting that nobody bragged on so-and-so for doing this and so-and-so for doing that. Y'all just hold on tonight. They didn't give a bus award. I'm not saying we're going to stop bus awards. Nobody cared. All they cared was that it was done.
Yeah.
Everything was in place. Everybody that sang wore matching clothes. The orchestra was all dressed alike. I mean, there was a lot went into that thing.
Maybe.
A whole lot. But nobody mentioned none of that stuff. Everything was for the honor and the glory of God. Nobody really seemed to care who did what. But the blessing was that it was done. Amen? And God got the credit for it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, where Paul said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." He said, "I got to speak to you like children because you act like children." He said, the spiritual things that, have you ever noticed a lot of these places, they got to have all this deep, deep spiritual stuff? And as Paul was dealing with these people, he said, "I can't speak to you on that level because you're not even getting the little things down on the lower level. Before we can get up here and eat the meat, you got to be able to digest the milk. Some of you are gagging at the milk and you're not ready for the meat."
Amen.
Amen. He said, so that's how I'm dealing with you. What verse did I get to? Verse number 3. He said, for ye are yet carnal. Y'all know what that means? Everybody nod your head if you know what it means to be carnal. That is in the flesh. And as a Christian, and I don't want to have to re-preach all this, but as a Christian, we're now a two-part being. We're a split individual. We are a spiritual schizophrenic. Because there is a new spiritual man, but yet that old carnal man, that fleshly man, he's still alive and well. Amen. He said, so I'm going to have to speak unto you as carnal because you're not built up in your inner spiritual man enough for me to deal with you on that level. He said, for you're yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal? In other words, if you were not carnal, there would not be envying, there would not be strife, and there would not be divisions. So when we have envying, what is envying? Jealous of one another. Amen. Jealous because somebody got some attention and you didn't. Don't be jealous because Rusty got the Vegemite and you didn't. I have extra. See me after service, I will hook you up. If we have envyings, if we have strife, bickering among us, talking about each other on websites or text messaging, whatever the case may be, if we have that, and if we have divisions, he said, you are carnal. He said, how do I know you're carnal? Because there's envy, because there's strife, and because there's division. He didn't start listing all these illicit sins. He didn't list fornication or adultery. He didn't hit none of those things. He just listed those simple things that you and I deal with every day. He said, I know you're carnal because that's what I see in you. Wow. So ask yourself, am I carnal? According to which day you ask, I guess, huh? Verse number 4. He said, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? So he's got this thing of the divisions in them. It didn't matter who led them to Christ. What matters is they got led to Christ.
Amen.
It didn't matter who taught them the Bible. What mattered was they learned the Bible. I get fed up with missionaries thinking they have to tell me where they went to school. Because evidently that's a big thing. That's a big thing. Brother, help me with his name, Brother Freddie, going to Canada. John Beyer, Brother John Beyer, who was just here, is probably as fine a young missionary as we've ever been acquainted with. Brother John is top notch. Some pastor that had already taken him on and was supporting him already, sending money every month, found out where he went to Bible college and dropped him. Isn't it stupid? That's kind of what these people are, who you hooked up with. Who cares as long as you're hooked up? Amen? When somebody says, what camp are you in? I'm in Camp Jesus. I don't know about you. Amen. I was talking to Brother Bax, the pastor over there in Australia, and he was asking me those questions about school. You know, I didn't go to school. And he said, well, good on you, mate.
Amen.
That's the way he saw it. He said, great. In other words, you don't have to plead loyalty to nobody.
Amen.
You can go outside of the camps And you can cross camps, and you can work with this camp, and you can work with that camp, and you can fellowship with this camp, and you can fellowship with that camp. I'm not against colleges, don't get me wrong. But we get in that mentality. Amen. I know great pastors in America who graduated from Hiles Anderson College that if you didn't graduate from that college, you will not step behind their pulpit. Do you know how many great preachers you're excluding from your church? All because it's a great school. I'm not bashing it, but in the flesh, in the carnal, that's where we get to where we get in this place where we're worshiping a man instead of a God.
Yeah,
amen. Who is Apollos, he said. Talking about his own self, he said, who is Paul? I call myself a servant, he said.
Yes,
I'm a nobody. He said, I am the chiefest among sinners.
Yeah.
That's who you're worshiping. He said, we're nothing but how you heard of Christ and believed. That's all we are.
Amen.
We were just the mouthpiece that God used.
Yeah.
So you say, preacher, are you playing down my role as a Christian? No. I'm lifting yours up to equal with everybody else's. Amen. I'm lifting yours up to equal with everybody else's. I don't care if it's as menial as changing a sign out in front of the church.
Amen.
Or putting the songbooks in order. Or playing the piano or singing the specials.
Amen.
And boy, it sure was good to hear them voices tonight. Y'all don't know how much I miss that.
Yes.
You say, well, is that more important than... No, it's all important.
Right.
It's all important. Every Friday evening, seems like, if I'm coming to town or coming from town, I pass Dwayne on a bus coming from New Georgia. He's been down there gassing up buses. Don't nobody see him do that. I do. But what's better than that? The Lord sees him. Amen. He's not serving Brother Eddie and he's not serving Happy Valley. He's serving God through the ministries of this church. Amen. This church is just our vehicle to serve one that's greater than all of us, and that's the Lord. Amen. I know this is real simple and you've heard it all before, but I think maybe we need to hear it again tonight.
Amen.
There's not a big bus director and a little bus director.
Amen.
In my eyes, there's not a big preacher and two smaller preachers. In my mind, there's three preachers who God has set in this church to lead.
Amen.
Some pastors would get eat up with green-eyed jealousy because one of their members went to Brother Freddie with a problem instead of coming to me. Help yourself. Amen. I'm just wanting to let you know, that doesn't bother me because there's not a hierarchy here.
Amen.
I'm their pastor and they revere me and respect me as that. But I revere and respect them just as they revere and respect me. Are we okay tonight?
Amen.
I want us to look at this thing of serving God tonight and try to get it in God's perspective that we're all just servants.
Amen.
Every one of us. And we may be serving in a different area. I want you to notice, first of all, the difference in the task. The difference in the task. Here's what Paul said. Paul said, I have planted and Apollos watered. Would you say that's two different jobs?
Yes, sure.
Would you say they're totally different?
Amen.
Totally different. Paul's trying to paint a picture here. I did my little part. I dropped some seed in the ground. And what he's referring to is the seed of the Word of God. Are you okay?
Yeah.
I love that little song we used to sing, the Word of God's like a little bitty seed scattered all around. Y'all remember that? Some in the road, some in the weeds, but everywhere you look, find little bitty seeds. Amen?
Yeah.
He said, I've planted, I've been strowing the seed along, but then Apollos came by behind me and watered or nurtured that seed. Sometimes we may get to, you know, it was a blessing to me to get to lead Lee to the Lord, the little cowboy, or big cowboy down there in Australia. That was awesome. But something was done before I got there. His mom and dad had went through a bitter, ugly divorce. The pastor has been counseling with them and working with this young man and working with this young man. He just happened to tell me that the kid loved horses and they train professional reining horses for a living. Of course, I wanted to meet him. And God just yoked our hearts together and we hit it off. He's real quiet and he's real shy, so I did most of the talking. Amen. And the Lord just worked it out where I could be the one to lead him to Christ in prayer.
Yeah, bro,
do I get the credit for that? No, I think more credit would go to the one who planted.
Yeah,
amen. I just came along, spread some fertilizer and some water on what God had already done before I ever even met him.
Yeah.
You know what I learned? I didn't have to tell him how to be saved.
Yeah, bro.
I didn't have to tell him how to be saved.
Yeah.
I didn't have to tell him what to pray. He had already heard it and heard it and heard it. That was all those seeds that somebody dropped in the ground before I got there. But if you'll listen carefully, people around talking, did you hear Brother Eddie led me to Christ? Brother Eddie didn't do nothing. I just got to enjoy that privilege. Amen. The work was done before I ever arrived. So sometimes we think when we preach a great message and boy, the altar's full or we do this and there's a great response. Hey man, it may not. You just may be there getting to pick the crop. Amen.
Yes, sir.
We met these kids, and this is something big in Australia. They're called backpackers. And we saw that on the internet before we went. Had no idea what a backpacker was. And basically, they're bums. I mean, really. These kids, when they finish high school, they take a year off between high school and college. Some of them are already in college and take a year off from college. And they got these backpacks with everything they own, and they travel across the country for a year. They'll stop here and make a little money until they got enough to go on, and they'll just do it. I thought, Angie said, that'd never happen in America. Somebody'd kill them. I said, yeah, that's right. But anyway, these kids were backpackers, and these kids told us that they had stopped in one town and picked apples to earn enough money to get on to their next spot. And that's kind of like what Paul's talking about. Before they ever got there to pick those apples to get the money to go to the next spot, somebody nurtured a little sapling tree.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. What they got to do was just pick the fruit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. And that's what Paul is saying. He said, hey, I planted and Apollos watered. I don't know whether you're planting or watering tonight, but they're equally important.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. I don't know whether you're planting, watering, or picking. It's all important, and one can't be done without the other.
Amen.
There's different tasks.
Amen.
Amen. Whatever you do in this church, you'll be thrilled to death to be able to do it. If all you do is call the prayer line every day and get those couple of prayer requests, if when I'm out of town, Brother Warren does it, or you get those couple of prayer requests from me, if all you do is hit your knees once a day and you don't pray about nothing, but you take those two major prayer requests of somebody who's hurting or praying for your preacher before he preached, and by the way, y'all supposed to do that 10 minutes before preaching time every time, amen? That's what you agreed to when you signed up. But if that's all you do you know what a great thing that is you've done?
Yes, brother.
Amen. I talked with Brother Warren on the phone today and was telling him how the trip went and how they received us and all that. He said, great. He said, man, God answered everything I prayed about for that trip.
Yeah, brother. Amen.
Wow. You know what that meant to me? The world.
Yes, sir.
Your prayer life is important.
Yes, sir.
Every little thing you do. Brother Thomas Hogus, you don't never hear more than two words out of his mouth at a time. He's quiet. He ain't got no personality. Him and his stick have a lot in common and about as much hair, amen? But Brother Thomas, he's faithful. He's out there in that junior church every Sunday. When he first started, he was rough around the edges. But over the years, God has taught him how to interact with some of those rough children from a rough background. And let me tell you something, them bus kids love him. They do. They love him. That's Brother Thomas, brother. I mean, they have great respect for him, and he's earned that over the years. And you don't see what he does. All you do is see him come in late and sit down in the back and sit there and nod his head while a preacher's preaching. Come to the altar once in a while. That's all you know. But God knows what he's doing. And God's keeping score. And what he's doing is very, very important. Let me just say this. Usually on Sunday mornings, Brother Greg Godfrey's out there preaching the gospel. You say, well, what's he need Thomas for? Crowd control. Amen. What he's doing is enabling Brother Greg to preach the gospel.
Yes,
sir. So listen, if Greg is preaching and you've got 150 unruly kids who are not hearing a word you say, the gospel is in vain.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank God there's a Thomas Hogus to say, hey, sit down over there. Your mama brought you into this world, but I'll take you out. Sit down and shut up. Amen. Oh, he'll strike fear of God in them. Amen. That's important. Let me bring it down to another level. And y'all think this is the most menial or demeaning job in the church. Somebody already said it. That's keeping the nursery. Boy, it got... Let's just go ahead and talk about the offering while I'm here. Amen? Man, the nursery is an important job. Do you know how, I mean, we've said it sound like a broken record. You're allowing somebody to hear the preaching. Just because you're putting up with a bratty kid, hey, how many times has somebody put up with yours? How many times has somebody held your kid so you can enjoy the service? Amen. It is an important job, lady. It shouldn't be, I have to keep the nursery. Who are you keeping the nursery for? Who are you complaining to? You know, in essence, what you're doing, you're going, God, I hate doing this. Or you're putting your foot down and saying, God, regardless of how much you love me, regardless of what you did for me at Calvary, regardless of my home in heaven, regardless of the many blessings and the answered prayers that you've sent my way, I will not serve in that nursery. It's just as important as what I do. It's just as important as what Brother Freddie does, or Brother Charles, or Brother Warren, or Brother Robbie, or Brother Tommy, or Brother William, or any of these guys. We okay tonight? We just got to quit looking at it in the way we look at it. We're looking at what we do through carnal eyes instead of spiritual eyes. I wonder how many times have you sat in a rocking chair and held a crying baby on Sunday morning back there in that nursery and said, oh God, please touch his mama's heart. While you're cleaning up a dirty diarrhea diaper, I wonder how many times you've said, God, please. God, please, I'm willing to wade through the poop. I'm willing to wade through the spit up. I'm willing to suffer my pierced ears with this screaming if her mama will get to hear the gospel and maybe be born again. Yeah, amen. We've got to look at what we do as doing it unto the Lord.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I know sometimes you'd like to choke them. Amen. Amen. And I know sometimes you get this attitude. Well, bless God, ain't nobody else going to do it. I ain't either. You doing it for them? You doing it for the Lord? Amen. And if we're not careful, some of the things we do, we'll just do them for ourselves. Amen. We got to Australia. I told my wife, I said, look, when this is over, we're on vacation. But for the next 3 days, I've got to be a blessing to these people. Amen. Yeah, it was a great benefit for me to get to see that country. But that wasn't why I was there. And we got to get the right mindset in our head. Or we are either going to be serving others, or we're going to be serving self, or we're going to be serving Jesus, one of the three. But we've got to get our mind right. There is the different task. It takes all kind of different tasks to make this ministry operate. Somebody said, when's the church going forward? Maybe when we start performing our task better. They're different tasks, but the tasks are dependent upon each other. We saw the difference of the task, but then there's the dependence of the task. Now listen, Paul could have spread all the seed he wanted. Or Paul could have refused, like you keep in the nursery, I'm not sowing no seed. I'm just not going to sow no seed. Then Apollos could have come by and watered till he caused a flood. Would anything have grown? No. The watering depended on the sowing. The sowing depended on the water.
Amen.
We all right?
Amen.
Everything we do is dependent upon each other.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. That's like these churches that have all these great, 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 great ministries. But those great ministries are dependent on the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. So they pull that away. So they've got all these great goings on and all these great gatherings and all these great programs and all these great groups, but ain't nobody getting saved.
Yeah.
Why? It's no good to have great programs. It's no good to have great ideas if you don't have great Bible teaching or great Bible preaching. Are you right? They're dependent on one another.
Amen.
Amen. If we quit cleaning this place, we quit upkeeping the heating and air conditioning, and we just let it go, and just say, oh, they'll show up. Everybody will come to hear the preaching. I don't know what planet you've been on, but no, they won't.
There's some that won't come if there's holes in the parking lot. There's some that won't come if there's not tissue in the restroom. That's the world we live in. What are you saying? The preaching is dependent upon everything else. If people are sitting here sweating bullets, by the way, in Australia, and I'm talking about it 100 plus degrees in the summer and it stays that way for months. Humid, I mean, you take a shower. And we were there in the fall. They went, the building where Brother Randy was, they went for years. They've only had air conditioning a couple of years. Wow. Wonder how long that'd last here. Some people leave before the service was over. Okay? What I'm saying is it's all dependent on one another. So I can't believe we're spending $10,000 to upgrade the air. Hey, man, it's part of it. Amen. Amen. It's part of it. All these little unforeseen things, buying tires for buses, it's part of it. Putting gas in a bus, it's part of it. It's all important. Setting up chairs for children's church or whatever. Everything depends on one another. Everything. Somebody say, why do you have to have a junior church and a children's church? Picture this. It's Sunday morning. We have our regular crowd that pretty much fills this room up, plus 150 kids. Half of them sitting there like this, you know. Got their gang thing going on. By the way, you don't see that in Australia either. Some of the most respectful children I've ever seen in my life. I did not see any underwear. In other words, the boys wore their breeches around their waist instead of their thighs. I thought, hallelujah. Said something about busting a sag, and they went, busting a what, mate? They ain't got no idea what you're talking about. Anyway, can you imagine that? We get to have the services we have in here on Sunday morning because Brother Allen, Brother Greg, and the Clausens are having those out there.
Amen.
Amen. And that's not just to get the kids out of our hair. That's not why we have those. It's important for their nurturing in the gospel. We don't want them to get 18 years old and not know the Bible. But they're getting it on their level. Amen. Oh, we tried. I asked Brother Allen to take those teens and those bus teens and have church for them. Why? They wasn't getting it in here. Amen. They felt like they felt in school. They felt like they felt everywhere else. Sit down and shut up. Amen. Anyway, do you understand that what you do is important? And if you don't do it, some other area will fail? That hit me really, really hard this week. If I don't do my job, and I don't do my job well, we're going to fail in other areas. I made up my mind. Whatever my part in this thing is, I'm going to try to do it better.
Amen.
Amen. Not as unto you, but as unto the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I've often said, greatest thing my church needs is a pastor. Amen. Y'all all right? What do you do? And if you can't think of nothing you do, see me. We'll find you something.
Amen.
I don't care if you ain't been saved 10 minutes. We'll find you something to do.
Amen.
Amen. Right after old Tony got right with God, or right after he got saved, I don't know which it was, went on visitation with me. You ain't lived till you take a green convert who just come fresh out of the world on visitation. Amen. Bumming cigarettes off people we've knocked on doors. I'm telling you, what a hoot, man. But we'll find you something to do, won't we, Brother Tony? I pick at him and have a good time, but we have a good time together. Amen. We'll find you something to do. But always remember, if I don't do my job, something will go lacking. Listen, we don't have to have Brother Todd. We don't. We had church for a while when we first came here with no piano. Had a $50,000 organ sitting over there that nobody could play. Yeah, we don't have to have Brother Todd. It sure does help, don't it? We don't have to have Ashley and Elizabeth and Janice and all these that sing. We don't have to have that.
Do we? Nowhere in the Bible does it say sing for 30 minutes before you preach. Does it? That's not in there, is it, Brother Freddie? He just said preach the word. But it sure does help the preaching, doesn't it? Amen. It kind of whets the palate, you know. Kind of tickles the appetite a little bit. They sing about him. They uplift him way, way up. It leaves you kind of wanting some more. I can preach without them singing, but brother, their singing sure does help my preaching. Amen. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I come in here, I ain't in the mood to preach. Don't look at me, goofy. You come in, you ain't in the mood to hear it either. If y'all walked in the door tonight at 7 o'clock, I said, all right, sit down and get your Bible. It'd hit you like a ton of bricks, man. You wouldn't know how to take it. Huh? Why? You're used to that appetizer. Well, okay. So in my mind, and I believe in the mind of God, their job's as important as mine. Why? Because their job makes my job easier. Amen. And what's coming out of my mouth makes it easier for you to digest because of what came out of their mouth previously. Amen. I'm telling you, the right kind of music does something to you. It surely does. That's why everybody, some people get upset with me over this Christian rock thing. It has no place in church. This contemporary music has no place in church. Music will make you want to do one of two things. Or this. I'm glad we got this kind. Amen. Amen. It's spiritual food. Amen. After you've been out in the world all week, listen, you came in here Sunday, had a great day. I heard the preaching was great. They videoed Sunday night. I can't wait to watch that. Sister Linda's granddaughter and Brother Dennis's little granddaughter got saved. Brother Taylor Smith got saved. Poor Taylor ain't here tonight. Get saved, first thing he does, oh, he's out with the team. You know how long I've been praying for him? You don't have to tell him this, but I knew in my heart he wasn't saved. I knew it. I love that kid with all my heart. Boy, when I heard that, whoa. Hallelujah, man. Who cares if I wasn't preaching? Who cares if I was in another country? He got saved. But one thing depends on another thing. In other words, you need me. And I need you. You need Brother Freddie. Amen. Brother Freddie needs you. Amen. You need Brother Charles, but Brother Charles needs you. Amen. The bus department needs bus leaders, but the bus leaders need bus workers. Amen. The bus workers need a bus mechanic. Y'all all right? Amen. How much harder would your job as a bus captain be if you had to gas it up, if you had to tune it up, you had to put tires on, you had to change the oil? Are you listening? We depend on one another. We got to have each other. Get out of that attitude. Nobody will miss it if I don't do my job. Yes, it will show up somewhere. It will show up. There is a difference in the task we do, but there's a dependence on the task we do. Amen. If y'all worked real hard and cleaned this church, I mean, got it spick and span. Say we had a big work day. All the bushes are trimmed. The edging's done. Jason and them's done a great job taking care of the yards. And I mean, everything looks spick and span. Ashley and Todd and Bibba and Katie and Levi and all them. Janice, they've all worked all weekend long. And they've got two or three new songs ready to go. And brother, I mean, the place is packed out. The visitation went well. We've all done our part. And they sing their two or three new songs. And I come to the pulpit and have nothing to say. How's that going to make you feel? After all you did. You mean I cut the grass? I trimmed the bushes? I painted the doors? I shampooed the carpet? I filled up the bus? I changed the oil? I knocked on doors? I gave out bubble gum? I printed bulletins. I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that, I did this, so somebody could get saved, but yet nobody told them how. I'd leave mad if I was you. Why? Our jobs are dependent on one another. I hope you can depend on me. And I hope I can depend on you.
But I'm glad that's not all there is to it. There's a difference in the task. There's a depending on each other of the task. But then there's the dynamic for the task, or the power for the task. Paul said, but God. I planted. Apollos came along with a water jug and he watered. Was that the end of the story? No. If all we're doing is planting and watering and planting and watering and planting and watering and planting and watering and nothing ever grows, what are we doing?
Amen.
We're just backing up, man. Yeah. He said, but God gave the increase.
Amen, brother.
Paul said, I did my part. Apollos did his part, which don't seem like a whole lot. But then by the grace and the mercy and the faithfulness of God, he came along and did his part. And that's where we get to see the wonderful part of the ministry and the great part of being a Christian. It's when God blesses what we do.
Amen,
brother.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You may hand out the tract, but God gives the increase. Amen.
Amen.
You may be the one that's doing the witnessing, but God gives the increase. You ain't never saved nobody. You couldn't even save yourself.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. You couldn't even save yourself. I knew the sinner's prayer frontwards and backwards. But somehow the night I was convicted of my sin, I needed a preacher.
Yeah. Amen.
I couldn't save myself. It had to be God, friend.
Yes, sir.
It had to be God. Listen, I love the bus ministry. I'm a bus kid. That's my heart. I love it, I love it, I love it. I want it to do better than what it is. I want it to be better organized. I want it to have better and bigger promotions. I want to be able to afford to do everything in the world for these kids in a right way. But what good is it if God ain't in it?
Amen. Amen.
If all we're doing is running around picking up kids, and that's all we're doing, let's just take them to the park. Let's just take them fishing.
Amen, brother.
But all the effort is toward the gospel.
Yes, amen.
Paul said, for it is the power of God.
Amen.
What is? The gospel.
Amen.
Unto salvation.
Amen.
How about that? That's the main thing. Everything we do is dependent on the power of God to give the increase.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening to me? I can preach my lungs out, but without the power of God, it's nothing.
Amen.
Without the power of God, you can't receive it. I heard that I was lost all my life. But one day I heard it just in a simple voice in my heart, but it was anointed. And it was the power of God that changed my heart from a sinner to a saint, and yours too if you're saved.
Yes, sir, bro.
Amen. Here's what I'm saying, and I'll quit. There is a difference in our task, but they're equally important. Whether you're the janitor or the pastor or anywhere in between. If all you do is take out the garbage, and by the way, I see the assistant pastor lugging garbage as much as I do anybody in this place. Some of you that's got teenage boys ought to put a boot in their behind.
Amen.
So how dare you sit here and talk with these girls while our assistant pastor's lugging the garbage.
Amen.
That ain't got nothing to do with the message. I just thought I'd throw it in there. They're all important.
Amen.
But then they all depend on the power of God. If we'll do our task, no matter what it is, no matter what it is, if it's putting letters on a sign that says, for except a man be born again, whatever it is, who knows what somebody driving by here?
That's right, brother.
I'll never forget Brother Ronnie Wright. He is our truck driver's ministry.
Amen.
Got a mobile chapel that he pulls all over the United States, sets it up in truck stops, and has preaching for those truckers. I'll never forget what led him to the Lord. You remember? Anybody? It was a billboard on the side of 75 going into Knoxville, Tennessee. I remember it so well because I've seen that same billboard. It was one of those solid black billboards. And it's one of those messages from God.
Amen.
One of them like, don't make me come down there, God.
you know, something to that effect. And he pulled that transfer truck over on the side of the road and got saved.
Yeah, bro.
Do you know the guy who climbed that ladder with a squeegee in his hand?
Oh,
may not have even been saved.
That's right, bro.
He just worked for a sign company. And while he's squeegeeing, pushing this sticker up on this board, and he's finally seeing, oh, don't make me come down there, God. Whew, wonder what that means. He may not know today that some weeks down the road, a truck driver saw that, fell under Holy Ghost conviction, pulled off in the emergency lane, and trusted Christ as his Savior, and is now traveling all over the United States telling many, 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 many men how to be saved. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
You say, well, God can't anoint a sign. Don't know. I was just in Sydney, Australia, night before last. While I was there, I was reminded of the story of the old man. Y'all remember him? The old man. A preacher was preaching in America, and he was in a meeting. And they started having testimonies, and a little lady got up back. And she said, me and my sister were visiting Sydney, Australia. Said a little old hunched over man walked up and gave us a gospel tract and said, God loves you, have a good day. She said, from that tract we got saved. He said he was in another meeting weeks later, and a man stood up in the meeting and said, I was in Sydney, Australia. They're telling how they got saved. He said, I was in Sydney, Australia, and a hunched over little man, I was about to get on the bus, handed me a tract and said, God loves you, have a good day. And said he started hearing that same testimony all over America. Just so happened he got to go to Sydney, Australia to preach. And he purposed in his heart to stay an extra night in Sydney, Australia to try to find that man. And he asked all over town, and everybody knew of him, but nobody knew him. He stayed till he was almost time to go miss his plane back to the States. He started to step up on a bus, and somebody tugged at his sleeve. He said it was a hunched over little man. And he handed him a gospel tract and said, God loves you. Have a good day. And he said, sir, I've looked for you all over Sydney, Australia. He said, look for me? He said, you don't even know me. He said, sir, I've heard about you all over the United States.
Amen.
He said, no, you got the wrong person. He said, I've never even led a soul to Christ. He said, I've never even had one good response. He said, sir, there are people giving testimonies about you and giving them a track and them getting saved all over America. God has used you greatly. And he didn't even know it.
Amen.
We'll have no idea what God's done in our lives.
Amen.
We walked around Sydney the other night, Monday night. I was looking for a little hunched over man. Wouldn't that have been cool to run into him? It ain't a little job. It's a big job. I'll close with this. Dr. Jack Hiles was going through some Bible college. And they were sending the preacher boys out to pastor or to preach in different places and fill pulpits where there were no pastors. Brother Hiles, sometime during the course of that, got called to pastor this little bitty white country church in, I believe it's LaGrange, Texas. And in one of their classes, they were starting a new class and they was having orientation, and the teacher went around the room asking the boys what they were doing and where they were serving. And they all started telling where they were and where they were serving. They got to Dr. Hiles. And they said, Brother Jack, where are you serving? He said, well, I'm just pastoring a little old church. He said, sit down and shut up. He said, sir? He said, don't you ever say that in my classroom again. He said, what did I say? He said, you said I'm pastoring just this little old church outside of town. He said, God has no little churches. Don't you ever make that statement in my class again. God has no little job. If you'll take your Bible and you'll study through it, I believe you'll find some of the greatest achievements or some of the achievements that God recognized so greatly were little bitty things.
Amen.
Little bitty things.
Just a cake for a preacher. Just a small meal. Some loaves and fishes. Just a widow and her mite. It was big to God, wasn't it? He looks at things so differently than we do. It's all big. Whatever it is you do. Rock a baby, rock it for Jesus. Gas a bus, gas it for Jesus. As that gas goes down the pipe, pray with every gallon. Save a soul, God. This gallon's for Jesus. With every push of the broom, or tug of the vacuum cleaner, God save somebody. As you pick up a songbook off a pew, pray for that pew. God, I pray the power of God be all over his pew in the morning. I don't know who will sit here, but Lord, I pray it's just electrified with your power. Amen. When, have you prayed over your little job? Lord, nobody sees me out here. But I know you do. As I put this scripture on this sign, Lord, would you anoint it? And let some poor old sinner driving by here, let it be just the thing they need to see. Somebody said, preacher, why don't you put all those funny sayings on the sign? Funny sayings don't lead people to Christ. Amen. We're not putting jokes on the sign. I believe that word will get the job done. Amen. Amen. Pray over it. Pray the power of God on it. Your Sunday school lesson. Your sermon. Brother Warren's praying God to give him something for the prison revival. Pray God to give you more than a message. Pray to give you the power to deliver it. Amen. Does it make you feel any different about what you do? Or does it make you feel like dirt if you don't do anything? Let's stand to our feet tonight.